Time again for Midday Eats with Hong and Shields. On this month's edition, do-it-yourself catering. If you're a foodie, someone who enjoys cooking and ever eager to learn more about it, you might at some point consider putting on a party for 30 or more people, celebrating a milestone birthday or a graduation, or perhaps as a wedding gift to friends, you volunteer to handle the reception. It's not that far-fetched. People have done it. Today, how to do it, how to plan out a party, and what dishes to consider cooking for a crowd. DIY catering with Henry Hong of the Waterfront Kitchen and John Shields of Gertrude's, plus special guest Andrea, the kitchen goddess Farnham. First, the news. That music means it's time again for Midday Eats with Hong and Shields, our monthly foodie hour with chefs Henry Hong of Waterfront Kitchen and John Shields of Gertrude's over at the Baltimore Museum of Art. Henry and John, always nice to see you. Thanks for coming in.
Hello.
Hey.
On this month's edition of our show, I thought we'd devote the hour to the concept of do-it-yourself catering. And I think about this number for a minute. $28,000. $28,000. That's about the average cost of a wedding in the United States, according to the wedding planning website, theknot.com. Of course, that number varies depending on where you live and what kind of a wedding you're putting on and how many people attend. And couples can expect to spend about half of that money on the reception itself, which oftentimes includes hiring a caterer. Nothing wrong with that. Not that there's anything wrong with hiring a caterer, right?
No, please hire your local caterer all the time.
Right. But this is what I say. If you're a foodie, someone who enjoys cooking, and ever eager to learn more about it, that might describe you, especially if you tune in for Midday Eats with Hong and Shields, right? You might at some point consider putting on a party for 30 people or more, celebrating a milestone birthday, or maybe a graduation. With spring coming, I'm sure there are some of you out there in our listening audience with this particular party theme on your mind, a graduation party coming up in May or June,
sure.
Right? So, and I'm thinking, okay, we want to step it up a little bit, right? We don't want to just do the usual, I don't know, baked lasagna or, snacks and hamburgers. We want to do sandwiches, a deli platter. We want to do something that actually starts to approach something looking really cool and great and something professional looking. And I think you can achieve that. I think it can be done.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah, you absolutely believe
so. Of course. Yeah.
Right. So we're going to talk about that today. And we'll be joined on the show by an old friend of John Shields, Andrea Farnham, who is known as the kitchen goddess.
Yes.
She'll be joining us soon. She used to be your sidekick on public television, right?
She was. She was the kitchen goddess on Coastal Cooking. Actually, it's airing still on MPT on Fridays at 4 p.m.
Really?
And, so the goddess would always give all the tips of how to throw a party, good recipes for it.
And she was a caterer, right?
She was, yeah, for years and years.
She worked for Classic Catering?
Yeah, Classic. She worked for Gertrude's and... The woman knows her stuff.
Okay. So let me ask you guys, just start throwing out some ideas here, how you go about this. If you want to step up your game a little bit, you don't want to just have the usual, like I said, sort of party that people are used to, a cheese platter, a deli platter. You got to dress all these things up. You got to plan it out a bit. So let me put it to you this way. Suppose you have a friend who's getting married, and as a wedding gift, it's their second wedding. They're going to have like 40 people. And you love to cook, right? So you're thinking as a wedding gift, you're going to cook for them. And you approach them and they say, well, sure, okay, we've had your food. Okay, you really think you can do it? And then they all agree. And then what happens next?
Then you start to put a plan together. Interestingly enough, Doug over at the restaurant,
your chef,
he went through this spurt, he's in his 20s, and he would have 10, 15 weddings a year that he had to go to with his friends. And I would imagine like three of them, he agreed to cook for their weddings.
Sure.
Well, because, he's a pro, right?
Yeah, but he's a pro, but he wasn't doing it at the restaurant.
He didn't do it out of your kitchen?
No, he was, he was putting this together and then throwing it together either at their homes or sometimes they would rent a place, but he was actually, kind of working as a gift as the caterer. Basically, I think you have to start by doing a little bit of planning. You know, how many people do you think you're going to have? Are you going to, where are you going to have it? Do you want to have it at your home? Do you want to rent maybe something then in a complex? Let's say if, you know, you have a condo and there's a community room, because that's going to tell you a couple of things, you know, about how many people you can invite, how the catering's going to go, even if you're doing it yourself. And then it also gives you a beginning of a budget.
Right.
Because you're going to know, okay, this place can fit 30 people, 40 people. What do I want to spend? And when we look at budgets for weddings, the national average in a medium thing can be anywhere from $100 to $200 per person.
Right.
Plan on spending that. That's a lot of money. So you can, you know, get.
But you have to spend that if you're doing it.
You don't have to spend that
right,
much.
Right.
You
that's
do not. Yeah,
partly the idea. Here,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. But yeah. But don't you think that, you know, for years, I know from my mother's generation, and everything, weddings and this kind of rite of passage kind of celebrations were often done at homes,
sure.
Oh,
or
yeah.
At a family member who had a larger place. And they really, you know, they pulled out all the stops. They did really, really beautiful things.
You know what? My in-laws were married in France in 1950, and the wedding feast was crepes. Three women working over a crepe grills all day, feeding the wedding party in the backyard of some farmhouse. That was their wedding.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. So, Henry, I mean, John, thank you for that setup there. So you've done a little bit of planning. You've scouted out a room. You know, say it's going to be 40 people, all right? It's a small wedding reception, right? 40 people, maybe 50 people. We'll go to 50 and stop there. Buffet or sit down? Now that becomes a question for you if you're a do-it-yourself caterer.
Right.
What's your thinking about buffet versus sit down?
So, yeah, that you know, is one of the more basic practical aspects you want to consider. So, I mean, I catered actually my buddy Joe McLeod's wedding last year. That was 80 people, so it's, you know, a sizable event. But regardless if it's, and that was at a venue. But if you're, for instance, doing a party for 30 people or 40 people, like you said, at your house even, first of all, buffet, 100%, and that's the way to go. When you're talking about a course dinner, then you're talking about you need not only stuff, which is plates and forks and for your various courses, you need hands to serve these things. And then timing becomes crucial as well. You know, you need to cook at, you know, on the noon at the time.
So you might you might not want to go that way.
I would not recommend right. that. You know, and then as John was saying, you know, budget wise, what I always do is even for myself, I'll go kind of like an all out, a medium, and a cheapskate budget. You mm-hmm. know what I mean? Like if it's like 30 people, I want to spend like what? Between $5 and $15 a head. If I really like these people, $15 a head. What does that mean?
I think you can do a lot with $15
so,
a head,
right?
Don't
so
you?
Yeah. So for 30 people, that's $1,500. That's a lot to play with,
right?
You know. And then John and I were discussing earlier, if you're gonna do a buffet, and you talked about getting, you know, we'll get into this, I guess, but like chafing dishes, keeping dishes cold or hot as necessary. Well, you know, try to pick dishes that you don't need to keep cold or hot for a while. You know, things that will survive for a time. You know, without being watched over.
There's a photograph on my Facebook page posted of a do-it-yourself caterer's banquet table. Well, it's not a banquet table. It's a buffet table. The photograph happens to be taken in Tuscany, so it's extra beautiful. But this is nothing but a buffet here.
Right.
And look how great that looks.
No, it's spectacular.
If you take the time and make a great presentation, first, great food that you have to select what kind of food you're going to present that way in a buffet, but make a great presentation. That looks as professional as anything I've ever seen.
Well, and the other thing is when you actually have a large, physically large spread of beautiful food, that has way more visual impact than having a plate handed to you.
It sure does.
You
know
it has
I mean?
A wow factor.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Listen, we'd like to hear from our listeners on this. 410-662-8780. Any foodies out there who have decided in the last year or two or whenever to put on a party for friends and really make it nice and approach it as in a professional manner and do as well as a professional caterer can do. Please share your story with us. We'll start with Melissa in Baltimore County, who called right up to let us know about that. Hi,
Hi,
Melissa.
Hi. Hi. Yeah, I had a dinner for about 35 in August, last August, and my housemate is a rocket scientist, so I had 30 rocket scientists And
actual rocket scientist.
I made everything Italian. I made everything from scratch.
Mm-hmm.
And I did. I spent for the whole everything about $1,200. But I made homemade antipasto with assorted cheeses and meats, and I made my own bruschetta with Asiago Cristini. I made a menu and put it out, and we started with Bellini's and local melon and prosciutto, and I made Caesar salad and my own croutons. I had a veal roast with fennel and shallots and Vincenzo au jus, and then we made a seafood orchiette with scallops and shrimp and melon lump crab. In my marinara.
Repeat that last one.
I'm sorry.
Melissa, repeat that last one that you said with the orchietta, with the little
with scallop shrimp and Maryland lump crab tossed in my marinara from scratch.
Oh, boy, that sounds
and
good.
Then we had dessert. We made balsamic strawberries with a whipped amaretto and mascarpone cheese and assorted biscotti and then espresso. So we had a really great time. We ate out under the pergola. And it was, I learned a lot, though, about, like, getting things out and timing and stuff. But it went really well.
But, Melissa, that sounds just great. And I can picture it as you were describing it, how you would lay that out. And then a couple of those dishes you had to bring out after, of course, folks had their go at the first part of those dishes, right?
Great. Yeah. Oh, and I had stuffed portobellos with a Florentine, like a cream Florentine stuffing. And it was really good, but, there's a learning curve.
Sure there is. But you see what she did? She impressed people with the number of different choices.
Yeah.
Right? This was all sampling food done as a buffet. Right?
Exactly.
Boy, that sounds really good.
I would have liked to go into that wedding.
And what did she say? How much did she spend?
$1,200,
she said. She mentioned bruschetta. And we asked John and Henry to provide recipes, as they usually do, for Midday Eats. And John, you provided a bruschetta, didn't you?
Yeah, I did. It's real simple. It's a crab meat bruschetta with some roasted corn in it. Tomatoes. It's real fresh, and it's easy. And that's one of the things when you're thinking about these kind of menu planning. You want to have a little bit of wow factor, but you want to keep it somewhat simple, something that you can do. Do what you do best and just let it shine.
Lump crab and roasted corn bruschetta, one of the recipes that John Shields provided from Gertrude's restaurant, or from his cookbooks. You can find them on the Dan Roderick's Facebook page, all the recipes that we'll discuss today. And Henry brought one that looks really great. You call this beet-cured salmon.
Yep.
And that has a bit of a wow factor already for me because of the color in that salmon.
Right.
And you're presenting it on really nice bread, with nice bread, capers, some chopped shallot, some chopped hard-boiled egg yolk, and a sauce. I don't know, what's the sauce?
Like a horseradish.
A horseradish.
Cream sauce. I mean, your classic smoked salmon accoutrement.
But why you say beet cured? So let's go over that a little bit.
Yeah, and that, it's mostly for, again, visual impact. We serve this at the restaurant. It's really, really popular. People ask for it over the winter when we don't have it. But, and this is something you can do, again, another thing you want to consider, so this is cured salmon. It'll keep without refrigeration for hours, no problem. You can make it way in advance. It only takes 3 days to cure. The recipe is fairly simple. If you get a whole side of salmon, for instance, for 30 people, and just slice it up, it looks amazing. People can serve themselves. It's one of the things when you talk about a bruschetta or something is portioning. You don't want to have to stand there and carve a piece of meat spoon stuff out.
Right.
People should be able to kind of go at their leisure and have, a morsel ready to go. And something like this, again, you can slice in the morning and just sit it out there and you're done with that dish. You know what I mean? Move on to the next project.
And you can put some time into presentation, too.
Absolutely.
To make a platter of that look really great.
Right. Yeah. And again, with the different colors, already you have this, bright red and deep orange for the salmon. You're halfway there to making something look really spectacular.
Right. This is do-it-yourself catering today with Henry Hong, who was just speaking, and John Shields. It's Midday Eats. Dan Roderick's here. You can give us a call, 410-662-8780. That first call, that's going to be hard to beat, Melissa's call. But maybe you've done something like this for friends in the last year. Did you agree to put on a wedding reception for a friend, or maybe it was a milestone birthday. Maybe you had a great graduation party that you made a little dressed up a little bit more than the usual. 410-662-8780 is our number here, the Midday email address for comments or questions, midday@wypr.org. And Andrea Farnham will be joining us soon, the kitchen goddess, with more on how to be a do-it-yourself caterer. We'll be right back. So maybe you're thinking about doing this coming year. Maybe you have friends who are getting married, or maybe there's a baby christening coming up or something. You want to do a special dinner at your house, a reception, a party. You want to dress it up a little bit more. So that's why we're talking about this today. Do-it-yourself catering for the ambitious foodie out there. Dan Roderick's with Henry Hong and John Shields. And a reminder, the recipes that John and Henry are providing, these are all... they're not intimidating. These are recipes you can pull off. And the nice thing about them is you can make them ahead of time before the party.
Yep.
So you're not scrambling at the last minute, right?
That's
part of the idea. Henry talked about this beet-cured salmon, which I just sampled, and it's really good. You serve that at the waterfront?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Poached salmon. If you invest in salmon, and salmon's a good buy usually by the spring or the summer, right?
Mm-hmm.
Actually, it's a pretty good buy most of the year, I think. You can poach salmon a day ahead of time, chill it, serve it cold. I'm thinking of the summertime now, spring and summer. That makes a very nice dish for a party like the one we're talking about. You can you cut them into pieces the next day, serve them with a green sauce or sauce verte made with watercress. What do we put in the sauce verte? I forget now the main ingredients. I've put watercress in it and... some other greens. Dill, of course.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
A dill sauce.
Yeah, dill is great.
Anyway, so that's something you can pull off. I don't think it's that hard to learn to poach a salmon.
No, that's pretty easy to do.
Yeah.
And you can do it a day ahead of time.
Yeah.
And it's ready to go, and it makes a gorgeous presentation.
Right. Okay, 410-662-8780. We introduce this conversation now. Andrea Farnham, been looking forward to having you on our show, the kitchen goddess, a former sidekick to John Shields in his Coastal Cooking series, which is still airing, John said, at 4 o'clock on Fridays on public television,
yeah.
Maryland Public Television. Andrea, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me. Happy to be here.
Yeah, kitchen goddess. So, you know, we're trying to encourage folks or give some ideas to folks who have been thinking about putting on a really nice party for someone, maybe even a small wedding reception for friends. What's your main approach to this? What your main advice, the most important things to emphasize, Andrea?
Well, not to scare people away, but just because you're a good cook doesn't mean sometimes that you can pull off a good party.
That's true.
You have to put in a lot of thought, and the devil is truly in the details. Coming up with the food is one part of it, but making sure, do I have 40 plates? Do I have 40 forks? What do I have? Where are people going to sit? So there's a lot of where am I going to get the ice from at the last minute? There's like a lot of details to go over. But as far as food is concerned, whatever you can make ahead is really the way that you want to go. You don't want to be in the kitchen at the last minute sauteing something or making a souffle or things like that. So you want it to be things that you can deal with. You want to keep it simple. You also want to make sure that hopefully you're going to go with a buffet because a seated meal is just more intensive, and I don't imagine anyone wants to be plating up plates in their kitchen during their party. But if, with that in mind, you want to have food that is you're not going to need a knife for, so it's easy to pick up. So, for instance, like one of the things I recommend sometimes is a beef tenderloin, a marinated beef tenderloin. You can grill it off early in the day. You can slice it ahead of time, and instead of offering it with a knife and a fork, you offer it with some rolls and maybe some horseradish cream and some shredded horseradish, so that it's easy for people to pick up. So they're not like sitting on your sofa with a knife and a fork, you know, feeling uncomfortable balancing a plate on their knees.
Right. That's good. And you know, Andrea, I'm with you on this 100%. The idea of planning. If you know someone's going to have a 50th birthday party, a 50th birthday, and you want to do this, you have time to plan. That's not a last-minute thing. You know when their birthday is. You can plan it out 3 or 4 months ahead of time.
Exactly. And you just have to make sure. Actually, one other thing that I always try to tell people is ask for help and accept help.
So if there are people around you while you're cooking this big meal that are willing to help you accept their help, you might need somebody at the last minute to run out for ice. You might need somebody just to kind of be of your day of coordinator that's walking around the party, making sure everybody has drinks or that there is enough beverages still out. You know, pick your bossiest friend. You know, that's usually what I say. They usually enjoy it. But accept help. You can't do it all by yourself.
This is great already, Andrea. Andrea Farnham, the kitchen goddess. And Andrea, why don't you stay with us on the phone? We're going to take some calls from our listeners here, and Henry and John are going to chime in with their comments when we hear from our listeners. We hear these stories, and then I welcome you to do it as well. So let's take some more calls. Here's Mary Ann in Baltimore.
Yes, hi.
Hi, Mary Ann.
Hi, I'd been giving a Christmas party that got bigger and bigger over the years. So when I came back from a business trip in 1988, and my stepdaughter said, how'd you like to do something like the Christmas party for a wedding reception over the Columbus weekend? And I said, sure. I said, how many people? She said, well, I'm thinking of inviting 125. So I realized I would have to pare down the menu that I generally did. I generally tried everything that was of interest for the preceding months and made it and froze it. So what I did is I got a spiral ham, and I made spinach pies and some seafood pies, and then just did some crudités and fruit, cheese and crackers, baklava. Someone else brought the wedding cake. I'd been giving parties for a very long time, so I had a lot of china. I had to borrow some silver. I had my format of the sangria in the dining room and the self-serve bar in the kitchen and, beer and soft drinks on the porch. Thank God nature cooperated, and it was a gorgeous night because we had 109 people packing the house, the back porch, the front porch, the backyard, from 8:30 till about 3, I think the last person left.
And you didn't run out of food, Mary?
No, that's okay. Not a thing I do.
Okay.
I make a heaven and have enough stuff in the freezer I can have another party.
I like your attitude. Can you do a wedding over the Columbus weekend for 125? Not a problem. So Mary Ann's experience, and that sounds like it was a lot of fun, a big, joyous house full of people, lots of food and beer and wine. Way to go, Mary Ann. And what about kitchen goddess Andrea, John, Henry, how you plan out? That must be a little tricky, 50 people, knowing how much salmon to have. Say, if you're going to offer smoked salmon, how do you measure that?
I mean, it sort of depends, how many if you're going to have, for instance, salmon and, as Andrea mentioned, like a tenderloin.
Yeah.
Then you don't need as much per person.
Right.
It all depends on what other dishes you're making, if you're going to have starches and greens, and which you always should. But, a couple of ounces per person usually is good for protein. To add on to what Andrea said and our last caller, if you have access to your outside and the weather's nice, a grill is just another cooking surface that, Like, the more tools you have to execute your food, the better.
Do you want to get into a grill, Henry?
What's that?
I know you always want to get into a grill, but somebody who's thinking about being a do-it-yourself caterer, do they want to go over there?
I mean, if you've got a grill in the backyard, use it. It's one, another cooking
like
tool
you could be getting in trouble there.
And it's the largest direct heat source that you probably have in a home. As opposed to, like poaching, you need a big old, vessel for that.
Andrea, that goes a little bit against your advice about cooking at the last minute.
Oh, no, you don't have to do it at that time.
He's right about the grill, because especially most homes today have open kitchen floor plans. So the last thing you kind of want to do is have this big mess in your kitchen that everybody is witnessing.
Right.
So a grill can be your best friend. You can even almost set up in your garage, you can set up a little workstation for yourself to try to keep the ugly part of catering, behind the curtain. And you could end up using your kitchen island as a buffet to display things on.
Okay.
So making this stuff ahead of time is really key in having the right presentation.
Okay, so Henry, you were talking about using the grill ahead of time, not during the event.
No, I mean, you could. But
I know
again,
you could.
But it's another thing.
Depends.
You can use to cook a large protein, like a whole tenderloin,
gotcha,
or a whole side of salmon.
And speaking of tenderloin, Andrea, Farnham offered us a recipe, marinated whole beef tenderloin with a horseradish cream, really nice for a buffet if you're catering a party. And that recipe is on our Facebook page as well, along with the recipes that Henry and John provided. And also, Andrea provided slow cooker pork carnitas. Could you talk about that? Can you just talk about that a little bit, Andrea?
Well, pork carnitas is a traditional Mexican dish, and you can serve it either with rice and beans, or you can serve it with some soft shell taco shells with guacamole and salsa, and it's a really nice, fun, flavorful station that you can make out of it. You make it in the crock pot. So you just put it in the morning and you walk away, and it does its magic on its own.
Okay.
And it doesn't taste like a crockpot meal. But Mexican food is so popular now, and I think it's you can create almost like an interactive food station where people are putting things together. It kind of is an icebreaker where people are putting their food together. And I recommend sometimes stations like that for do-it-yourself things, too, that you're kind of putting the components out there for people to put together as they would like. And conversation starter, especially with weddings, when sometimes you're inviting people that don't know each other,
mm-hmm.
and you want to try to break the ice and get the families to get to know each other, it's a good way to do that, having some kind of interactive food station where they're making something together.
And on the carnitas, would you use – I don't want to see a slow cooker on a buffet table. I got a thing about it. It's a little nicer, especially if it's a wedding, right?
No,
so
you take it out of the slow cooker, and you can do this all ahead of time. And then what you do is you put it in a pan and kind of fry the edges up, and then you platter it, and you can serve it room temperature.
Okay, thank you very much.
Yep.
Here's another call. Carol in Parkton joining us here on Midday Eats. Hi, Carol.
Oh, hi. Yeah, what I was talking about is that what I sometimes do is a grown and gathered dinner, which is where I grow the stuff, or I gather it out in the woods. I do a lot of mushroom hunting.
Mm-hmm.
And the trick sometimes for doing a grown and gathered dinner is you have it scheduled. And then it might turn out the rains fail and the maitake mushrooms aren't that good that year. And so I have to make sure I have stuff arranged in advance. And we do a lot of canning. And so I usually have a lot of my produce canned just in case things fail.
Ah, good idea.
I make a lot of egg quiches with my basil, because the chickens lay eggs. We do also process some of the chickens, but I don't have the heart to kill them myself. I'm a little hypocritical that way, so I usually have my son-in-law and daughter to do that. So I have to plan that and have them frozen, because I just can't do it myself.
It's interesting. Yeah. That's an interesting approach to a dinner, everything from the backyard or what you can gather or grow. It's excellent, Carol. Thank you very much. And it makes me want to say this, too, to remind folks about catering, putting on a spread, a nice long buffet table, vegetables, especially if you're doing this in the summertime, right? It can look so great. Yeah, there are so many ways to prepare vegetables and get, John, you get all this color on your buffet table if you use a lot of vegetables.
Yeah,
right?
You do. From the vegetables,
salads,
from herbs, the salads, everything that's out there. Andrea's always great with coming up with things like that, because when we're talking about our planning, we're talking about the buffet, we're talking about the recipes, there's all kinds of really neat little things that you can do to make it look special. And that's what you want to do. You don't want to spend a lot of money on it, but you can make it kind of look unique and signature.
Henry and I, at the beginning of the show, we were talking about money and how much you would have available to you.
Mm-hmm.
And we had, say, 50 people. What did we say? $30 each, maybe? There's a lot you could do with that.
Oh, absolutely. That's a huge budget.
That's a lot. Let's go down to like $15, even
right.
$15 a person. And Andrea, I'm sure you'll agree here, you can buy some great ingredients to put on a buffet table, starting with, say, Italian-style sliced meats, for instance, nice soppressato or pepperonis and really nice cheeses on a table. So you can put your money to good use, and it'll look great, too.
And just to, again, go back to the tenderloin, because that's a catering mainstay,
yeah.
Especially for DIY folks. You know, you can get one if you shop around, a whole one, maybe a 7-pound tenderloin, $8 a pound. you know, what is that, $56?
Yeah.
And you easily get 50 portions out of that.
And a cryovac wrapper, and it's and there's, how do you feel about freezing them? Say if you got them on sale, you know you're going to do a party in 4 months.
If you've got a freezer big enough,
that,
I mean, these guys are like 3.5 feet long,
works.
But like, you know, 2.5 feet long. But yeah, so that's a dollar and some change per person, you know, and you got a big protein out of the way already, you know.
Andrea, you agree you can get a lot for your money in a party like this?
Oh, definitely. Actually, and you should focus, too, on trying to buy things that are in season, obviously, because you're going to get a better price. So if you have to have strawberries for dessert, hopefully your party is in this time of May, June, when strawberries are plentiful and inexpensive. So try to look for things that are in season as well, because you'll save money in that regard.
Let's take another call. This is Minna in Baltimore. You're on Midday.
Thank you. It's always great to hear Andrea's voice, because I remember her from when I was a greeter at the BMA, and she was at Gertrude's, popping in and out. My experiences are two different kinds. When my daughter was married in our home in Marblehead, Massachusetts, years ago, a small family ceremony at the house, champagne and so forth, a reception at the King Hooper Mansion that was much larger. I didn't have to do that. But a dinner back at the house that evening for those who were in from out of town, which I had prepared, but people came who had that were not supposed to be there, so I never got a taste. And the opposite of that is when we lived in Seattle and belonged to the largest, at the time, wine society in the United States, and we would cook and serve dinners for 300 people. And I think, bottom line, any buffet has to have people behind the table, making sure, runners, making sure that your platters are refilled, making sure you have enough food in back in the kitchen to do that, not at the buffet table, but bringing full platters back in again. And certainly for a dinner for 300, you certainly have to have enough people, whether it's going to be friends or you spend the money as part of the expense to hire serving staff, which makes it much easier for you as the host and hostess.
Yeah. Minna, actually, good points, John.
That's a great point. Yep. Actually, Andrea and I were talking about that earlier, that's something to consider, especially if this is a big event in your life. You may want to get a lot of it together yourself. You may want to do a lot of the cooking yourself, but do yourself a favor. Hire someone to come in and help run that party. You don't want to have to be thinking about all those things.
Yeah, that's money worth spent.
You want to enjoy the party.
Yeah.
You know, you can do all the work ahead of time, but once it gets started, you don't want to have to do that.
You got a friend who's not invited to the wedding, right? He's from outside that loop, and he's got a tuxedo. Right? Give him a few bucks. Say, stand behind the buffet table.
Oh, you can't do it. Make sure. Invite a friend that's not invited. Come on.
No, you can recruit a friend.
Maybe like a friend's nephew or something like that.
Or a college student.
And to add on to John's thing, somebody to help clean afterwards, because that's a big job.
Yeah,
he might be buzzing a little bit. You know. So, yeah.
This is fun, though. If you're a foodie, this is fun putting on it's like a little project. It's like a hobby or something. This can be great fun. Don't be intimidated by it. And also, you can pick up a tuxedo at Goodwill nowadays. So. Also, you can pick up some of the things that you need to put on a nice spread at Goodwill. Some nice dishes and things like
sure.
that. Serving dishes. All right, we'll take a break here. DIY, do-it-yourself catering. It's Midday Eats with Hong and Shields. A special guest today, Andrea, the kitchen goddess, Farnham, on the phone with us. We'll be right back. I just want to clear up something there. I wasn't saying that I would ask a friend to come and work at a wedding that he wasn't invited to.
That's what it sounded like.
That I wasn't invited. It would be, let's say you were doing a party for folks from work, right? And you want to do it really nice. And this is a friend from outside of that loop.
Okay.
He doesn't know any of these people there.
Right.
I'm saying.
Person
with the right
work,
personality.
Yeah, fine.
He or she could be in charge of the reception, and you can enjoy your wine and conversation with folks, right? That's what we're getting at.
Yeah.
Hey.
Give the guy a couple of bucks.
Hey.
Nice shave.
Bro, you know, it's like, all my dear friends are getting together. Would you like to help me work that?
No. That's not what I was saying, Henry.
You know what I mean? Come on.
Oh, boy. Let's go to Maria. I think we need some help here. Maria's calling from Aberdeen. Hi, Maria.
Hi, thank you so much for taking my call.
Thanks for calling.
Well, I'm a military wife, and so we've traveled over 12 moves, a couple of continents, and no matter where we went, we always had to throw a reception for the unit that my husband was in. And one time we were stationed in Japan, and we had to do a New Year's reception for roughly 150 people. And I'm determined to have a good time when we do this. I don't want to be tired by the time everyone comes. So I did a dessert reception and had, I don't know, maybe 20 or 30 different types of sweets, and made them up 4 or 5 days in advance, was able to store them in refrigerators, and it worked out really well.
That's interesting. At what time of day was that held? Do you remember?
It was morning. So typically, the traditional military New Year's reception is like breakfasty foods or brunch kind of foods. And I'm like, so I had like fruit bowls, and I had some healthier options on the table, but also had just a whole variety. And I've got a Greek heritage, so we pulled out all the stops when it came to what we put out on there.
You know, I kind of like this idea. I mean, start with dessert. Start the year off. Eat
the
dessert first.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. And so it was popular. People like that?
It was. And the way I measure popularity with whatever I'm serving is if people ask me for a plate or if they can take a plate home. So by the end of the reception, whenever someone came up to me and said, do you mind if I take a plate home to whoever? I thought, okay, I hit this one out of the park. This is good.
Way to go, Maria. Nice. Wow. 200 people. Thank you very much for that call.
Yeah. Thanks for taking my call.
That's an interesting idea.
Well, you know, she brings up a great topic there. I was talking to some other people who have been having weddings recently, and one of the hot things to do is to have breakfast for dinner or breakfast kind of wedding receptions. Brinner is what they call it. We're going to have brinner. So you can have like pancakes, waffles, biscuits, and sausage. Breakfast sandwiches.
What do you think of this?
And then
your guests show up. They're expecting tenderloin, right, Henry?
You tell them.
They know it's going to be a brinner.
It's a whole kind of a theme thing.
Okay.
And it was huge. A lot of times they'll do that now when we do a catering at the end of it. So the catering runs late, you know, and after they've had the dessert and everything. Around midnight or so, they get us to bring out breakfast kinds
of things.
Right,
that's cool. I like that.
Wow. So what do you think of that? I mean, in terms of preparation, that sounds like you'd have to do more work on the spot, and you wouldn't be able to do as much ahead of time.
Yeah, well, you couldn't. I mean, especially
because you want waffles and pancakes to be warm, the eggs to be warm.
Yeah, you'd have to have somebody. Well, you basically don't do eggs. You could do some frittata, quiches that are all done ahead of time.
Okay.
They're done at room temperature.
Brunchy food.
And you do kind of a whole station where it's like a build your own pancake. And yeah, you have to have somebody there who's continuing to do those things. But anyway, it is something that's very popular right now, especially with the younger crowd.
It's a thing. I don't know. I will say it's probably more cost effective than your traditional route, which is I'm sure very appealing.
Sure, that lowers our $15
absolutely.
A person.
Absolutely,
and
you know, eggs you can scramble them, put them in a chafing dish, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
What do you think, Andrea?
You know, John and I did a wedding a couple of years back. That was brunch for dinner. And I have to admit, when the couple came in with the idea and wanted to do this, and we were kind of like, okay. And I had some people in the beginning of the event, some people were like, what is this? But as the evening went on, people got into it. People generally like breakfast. I don't know if I would do it personally, but if money really is an issue and you want to throw this event, doing a brunch, so you do an early day event with breakfast fare, is a great idea.
Here's an
and a lot of those things can be made ahead. You do quiches, frittatas. You can do like a strata, which is kind of a French toast dish that you can make ahead of time and just take out of the oven. You can have fresh fruit, bagels, and it's pretty cost effective. So doing it in the daytime on a Sunday morning or Saturday morning, people often do that for weddings, and you really will. You'll see the savings. It's going to be no tenderloin, but you'll see the savings.
Thank you, Andrea. This is an email from Alice, also on the idea of a theme for a party. a New Year's party. She said, I hosted a small party with a 1930s theme. I did some research on Depression-era foods and found a lot of great recipes. Stuffed things and tiny sandwiches were apparently all the rage. I stuffed small sweet peppers with creamy chicken salad, French bread sliced and toasted with cream cheese, tomato sauce mixed together, and a smoked mussel on top of each. It was extremely cheap to put all this together. I made almost everything the night before, and I pulled up a bartender book on my Kindle and had guests bring a bottle of something and a mixer like bitters or vermouth, soda, tonic, etc. We had a blast looking up old drink recipes and experimenting, and everyone took a turn at the bar.
Hmm.
Thank you very much, Alice. And Michael posted on Facebook that he said, we catered our own wedding. He says, my wife, her mom, and a few of her friends made everything in her kitchen, and we had the reception in her parents' house. It was delicious and inexpensive.
Hmm.
More on this. Here's Harvey in Baltimore with a question for our guests. Hi, Harvey.
Hi. Good afternoon. My wife and I both enjoy catering and putting together dinner parties and so forth. But I'm wondering how much of different meat or cheese or hors d'oeuvres for each person, because generally we have way more than we need.
Yeah. You tend to overdo it.
Yes.
Overbuy because you don't want to run short.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's you know, you definitely, whatever you do make, you want to plan for everybody to, you know, get at least one portion of it.
Yeah.
So, you know, again, for a protein, couple of ounces. For a starch, maybe 3 ounces, like potato salad or something of that nature. Now, it's hard to do weight for, you know, for greens or like a salad or something like that. But again, you know, it sort of depends on how many dishes you're putting out. You want, if you can just envision a plate of food, and then multiply that. Again, you know, protein is really the most important thing.
The thing that's tricky, I think, Andrew, you might want to chime in on this, is that you put out something that's, you know, is going to be popular. Say,
right.
Prosciutto with little pieces of melon or something, or prosciutto on a sliced baguette, right? So you know that plat is going to go pretty fast, right?
I was going to say deviled eggs, man.
Yeah, or for you it's deviled
eggs,
right?
They always go
deviled
first.
Eggs disappear.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, are you kidding me? They're the first to go, man.
Okay, so you got to make an allowance for that, right, Andrea? You know that some things are going to be more popular maybe than the cauliflower salad or something, right?
When you put your whole menu together, and it's going to depend on how many hors d'oeuvre options are you offering. If you're just having one, then you're going to have to beef up on those. If you're just offering the deviled eggs and maybe some like crudité platter, you're going to have to do extra. If you're going to put out maybe like 5 or 6 different hors d'oeuvre options, you can tone down the number that you do. But sometimes it's a crapshoot, especially if you're inviting people to your party that you don't know that well. Usually with birthdays, anniversaries, and things, you know everybody who's coming. You know what they eat. You know what they like. But sometimes with weddings, that's not the case. So you can try to do your best guesstimate, but if you don't know who the guests are, sometimes it's just an educated guess is what you're going to have to make.
Okay. Let's take another call. Alita in Baltimore, you're on Midday Eats. Hi.
Hi. I just had a couple of suggestions for inexpensive. And one of the resources that I've used, because I always have to entertain on my own and I have a very limited budget and limited space, are the wholesale food clubs, like BJ's. And I get wonderful hors d'oeuvres from there. And I am able to get, like, breads, mini croissants, and, you know, little corn muffins, things that you can put your stuffing in. Mm-hmm. You save an awful lot of time that way.
Yeah, it's a good suggestion.
Yeah.
Very good.
Great suggestion.
Also, you find out that liquor stores are willing to negotiate with you as the general public. I remember doing a party for my cousin for his wedding, prior to his wedding, and I was able to get every half case of champagne. They gave me a bottle free. If you get a full case of some wines, they'll give you 2 bottles free. You can get those specials. And finally, going on the point that you made earlier, you were joking about the friend who was helping someone else cater. I actually fooled people into thinking I was an actual professional caterer for a friend's party, and it cost me all of $10. All I did was go to a uniform store. Any of these uniform stores, you can get a professional black caterer's apron for $10.
Right.
I had the white shirt, the black tie, black pants, flat shoes. I borrowed, you know, some silver trays.
Get any
Again,
tips.
At the BJ's, I was able to get some very inexpensive pieces I could use for centerpieces for the trays. And even though they had someone there who was making a lot of time-consuming handmade hors d'oeuvres, the BJ's ones were the ones that people really wanted, and I'm walking around passing them out, and they're like, oh, you're wonderful, you're great, this is wonderful, not knowing that I'm just a friend of the person
That's
and not
great.
A professional caterer.
Alita, I just did you hear me? Did you get any tips?
Oh, I got wonderful tips.
Thank you for that. That's a great call. Thank you, Alita.
Yeah, to that point, knowing what you can't do, what you can't pull off, and outsourcing.
Yeah.
What Andrew said about the taco station, you're not going to make your own tortillas. Get good ones from Tortilla Sinaloa. You know
right.
what I mean? You get a kilogram for like 10 bucks.
Right.
Desserts. If you're not a savvy baker, you know, the last thing I did, we went to Bonaparte Bakery. Great little local place. Beautiful little mini fruit tarts, $1.25 each, you know, for 30 people.
Yeah. Don't try to do everything is what you're
yeah.
saying.
Exactly.
Defer to the pros for some things.
For
especially
some things.
Dessert makes
Absolutely.
Sense.
Absolutely. You know, and if you're going to serve dessert, just keep in mind to clear the entire spread first and then reset it. So.
Also, something we didn't impart to our guests is to think about friends that you know who own a restaurant or have or buy things wholesale, right?
Oh,
I mean,
yeah.
This can certainly come in handy, right, Andrea?
Oh, yeah. I mean, people, you can ask friends to either buy some things for you wholesale or, I mean, as you can also fill in. Say just exactly what Henry was saying. If you know you make these killer entrees, but you just don't have the time to make hors d'oeuvres or you think they're too tedious, your favorite restaurant, they have hors d'oeuvres or appetizers that they serve all the time. I know at Gertrude's, people call all the time to get platters of things done. They even drop off their own platters. You can platter it on your own platters and drop that off at the caterer, and they'll do that
really?
For
yeah.
you.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Wow. I have to remember that. I didn't know you had that yeah,
it's
service.
Just it's a great way to supplement. You
yeah,
know
yeah.
That way you can make what you like to make.
Right. Excellent idea. James in Baltimore, we'll go to you next. Thanks for calling the show.
Hey, Dan. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
And hey, Henry, how are you doing?
Hey.
Used to work at the waterfront with you a couple of years back.
Oh, hey, what's going on?
Hey, how's it going? So yeah, several years back when I got married, we had the actual reception catered, but since I was still a chef at the time, I wanted to do the rehearsal dinner, which wound up being about 18 people. And so what I did was essentially like a four-course meal that I was able to do almost all the prep work. It wound up being a sort of seared scallop ceviche with Belgian endive, a roasted beet salad with a shallot, white balsamic vinaigrette, and I did a grilled pork tenderloin with mayonnaise potatoes with a brandy green peppercorn sauce and haricots verts, tiramisu. The day before, I was able to just to roast the beets, make the sauces, get the scallops soaking in the citrus. I made some fresh focaccia bread, and so what I wound up doing, had to do that day, was just leave the oven on, or get the oven going, when I just set out the bread with pickles, oil, things like that. Hello?
Yeah, James,
oh,
listen, we're running out of time, but thank you for that story. Sounds like it came off well.
Heating everything up that day. Cutting up the mayonnaise potatoes early in the day
into
individual portions.
Right.
So it was pretty quick just to plate everything at the time. And I used the endive with the scallops as spoons. So it was on one plate at the beginning. And it was
James,
just a matter of heating everything.
James, he can't hear me. I swear to God. Folks, I'm not being rude. Some of these folks, when they call in, I don't know what happens. They can't hear me try to interject or something. So I'm sorry, James. We have to wrap up here because we were running out of time. I want to thank Andrea Farnham, the kitchen goddess, for joining us today. You were great. We should get you on the phone again sometime for Midday Eats. Thank you, Andrea.
I would love it.
Yeah.
Thanks, Dan. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm sorry we ran out of time there. There's some more emails I wanted to read, but I'll save them and maybe we can read some of them next time because we can pick this up again.
Yeah.
This topic. And look for Henry and John and Andrea's, their recipes on the Dan Roderick's Facebook page if you want to get into some catering, if you're planning a big event this coming year. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you, Dan.
Midday's senior producer is Nikki Gamer. The producer and director is Jonathan Ahrens. The associate producer, Michael Himowitz. Our interns are Luke Spicknell, James Daly, Tom Cartaxo, and Michelle Richardson. Music produced by Jeff Truman and High Gravity Sounds. Midday podcasts and live streaming available at WYPR.org. Dan Roderick's column appears in the Baltimore Sun. This is WYPR, your NPR news station.